pastor's, man, oh, I'm really not getting on to you. I'm challenging you. I'm bumping you, saying, come on, let's let God be God. Praise God. Won't you stand for the word of the Lord tonight? Brother Pirtle's coming. God bless him. Amen. He's going to come give a lesson tonight.
Well, praise the Lord. All right, let me see if I can get some help from Brother Wesley and Brother Brent. If you can. There you go. Well, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. It's good to feel the presence of the Lord. It's good to be in His house one more time. And it feels good to feel the Holy Ghost. It feels good when God moves in and begins to work. Amen. I don't want to ever take that for granted. Amen. Amen. If you would, turn with me to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6. And we're going to continue on our lesson about getting a pure heart, getting things out, getting things in. And has anybody enjoyed the lessons? I'm telling you, they have been top notch. And for some reason, my Bible's not turning as quickly. I guess I'm the one that's going to be left saying, oh me. All right, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6. If you have it, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, chapter 5, verse 6, and it says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Amen. You may be seated. Pastor's talking about chicken, so you ought to be good and hungry by this point. The path to a pure heart. The path to a pure heart involves humility. It involves a compassionate attitude, a meek and a gentle spirit. And now we'll be talking about a burning, passionate desire to please God. Does anybody want to please God? A person that really repents and is serious about living for God will possess a burning desire to please God more than anything. And this passion will begin to influence every area of their life. As you begin to live life, God turns the light on little bit by little bit, and you see different things, and God begins to reveal. And there is a desire that grows when God begins to do those things to please Him in every area. God, how can I do what I need to do to be pleasing in Your sight? Not just on Sunday, not just on Tuesday night, but every day, every moment, how can I please You? Not only will spiritual desire influence every area of your life, but it will also override other influences. It becomes your number one priority. Other things will try to come in. And there is a reminder constantly of the world that we live in today. There is a constant reminder of the things that are influencing and pulling and vying for our attention. But there's one priority. There's one priority that we set our sight on. Lord, Thou hast heard the desire of the humble. Thou wilt prepare their heart. Thou wilt cause thine ear to hear. In other words, the desire of the humble is not just existing, but it says, Lord, Thou hast heard the desire of the humble. Thou wilt prepare their heart. thou wilt cause thine ear to hear. And the psalmist is writing here, and he shows that that desire begins to pour out. And if you know anything about prayer, about worship, there is a desire for God that is manifested in that. In true prayer and in true worship, there's something that should be more than just the method, if you will. There should be more than just because it's what we do at this point in time. You know, we're on the third song, so in the second verse, third word in the second verse, I usually lift my right hand, and then I slowly move over into the left hand. You know, we don't want to be methodic in worship. We want to show forth desire. And when we show forth that desire, then it says God begins to prepare the heart. God begins to do something, and he turns his ear. His attention begins to be turned to those that cause their desire to be known. And then one of my favorite passages here, Psalm 27 and 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Does that mean that we camp out in the house of the Lord every single day? No. It doesn't mean that we live here. It doesn't mean that we necessarily come every single day and stay here, but it does mean that our heart is toward the house of the Lord. I desire to dwell here in my heart, in my thoughts. In other words, in the presence of the Lord. In that remembrance of Sunday night, the service, the message was not just to stay here for Sunday night, but I'm supposed to carry that into Monday and into Tuesday and into Wednesday. And how do I input that into my life on Thursday and Friday? I want to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life to behold the beauty of the Lord. The beauty of the Lord. Is living for God just average to you? Is living for God just, or is there still beauty? Is there still a place that we can get in the presence of God and behold his beauty? And then to inquire in his temple doesn't mean you come in and constantly have your hands lifted, asking questions. Brother Jerry, please keep your hand down. We'll answer questions later. That's not what that means. It's not constant inquiry. It is a reaching. God, I'm desiring. I'm questioning, how can I get more of you? Everything in the presence of God, how can I get more of you? And so desire is... Desire to please God will influence how you dress. Desire to please God will influence your language. Desire to please God will influence what you read. Desire to please God will influence your involvement with social media. Desire to please God will influence what kind of music you listen to. Desire to please God will influence the places you go and who you go with. Desire to please God will influence who is in your circle of friends. Desire to please God will influence how you pay your bills. As unto the Lord. I just preached to me for just a second there. Desire to please God will influence how you get along with your neighbors. And that's not just location, like right next to your house. Two houses down, I don't have to be kind to them, but if they're right next to me, caught. Desire to please God will influence who you marry and how you treat them. Desire to please God will influence how you raise your children and what you teach them. Desire to please God will influence your faithfulness to church and to church events. Desire to please God will influence your relationship with your pastor and the ministry. Desire to please God will influence how you worship. Desire to please God will influence how you pray, how often you pray, and what you pray about. Too many times we can have, just as life gets busy, we can have briefcase prayers. What's a briefcase prayer? Well, it's usually brief, and just in case something goes wrong today. And I open it up real quick, and I give God my list of wants, a couple of thank you cards, close it, get back on the road. We don't need briefcase prayers. We need relationship prayers. We need desire prayers. We need, God, change me. God, help me. God, I want to please you. I desire to please you. Desire presses when there is a crowd. Desire cries out the more when told to be quiet. Desire sits at Jesus' feet in the midst of chaos. Desire runs to Jesus when more than 2,000 devils try to bind. Desire asks for living water as a whole city looks on with disdain. Desire will not accept the appearance of a no, but says even the dogs get some crumbs from the master's table. Crippled desire gets four friends and some rope. Desire keeps on. Desire just won't quit. Desire is persistent. Desire grabs hold of faith and says, I know things are rough right now, but if I can just get to Jesus, if I can just get to Jesus. We've got to have desire. Failure isn't the opposite of success. It's part of the path to success. Thomas Edison wasn't born a genius. In fact, as a child, his teacher said he was too dumb to learn anything. Can't teach him that, Edison. He succeeded because he had a relentless determination. Not because success came easily. When Edison set out to invent a practical, long-lasting electric light bulb, many experts believed it was absolutely impossible. It's not going to happen. But Edison had a vision. Edison thought something, maybe understood something a little bit more than the experts. He and his team tested material after material, design after design, and they failed thousands of times. It's a lot of times to fail. You tried something you failed thousands of times at, it could probably get frustrating. But he kept going. People mocked him. The press sometimes ridiculed him. Even his own backers and investors grew impatient. But Edison refused to give up. When asked by a reporter how he could keep going after so many failures, Edison famously replied, I have not failed. I've just found 10,000 ways that won't work. Finally, in 1879, his persistence paid off, and Edison's carbon filament bulb burned for hours and hours, and it changed the world forever. And it's good to see everybody tonight, clearly. Because Thomas Edison wouldn't stop. You know, something that the devil hates is somebody that won't stop. Something that scares the enemy is somebody that just will not quit. Somebody that just doesn't have the sense to give up. If I'm not going to have sense, that's the kind of nonsense I want to have. It's just, I don't know when to quit. I just keep going. And I get up and keep going. Jesus came to this earth with a desire to fulfill. How many things did Jesus have to endure? He was a man of many sorrows. He was a man of many sorrows. There was things that he faced. There was things that came against him from people, from situations. There was things that he dealt with from day to day. but he was driven by desire, not feeling. Desire is not a feeling. True desire goes deeper than feeling. If we're going to be saved, we must have a burning desire to do the will of God, not a burning feeling. Desire stays there when feelings vanish. Desire keeps going when all of the emotion goes out the window. When everything is down the drain, desire says, I won't quit. It keeps going. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. Hebrews 10 and 9. And he said unto them, how is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? We're in business here tonight. Think not that I'm come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. I've come to activate. I've come to make things happen. Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Jesus had a will and a purpose. Jesus was so focused. It didn't matter what came against him. He maintained his focus. Things to consider. Desire to do that which is right. We've got to desire that. We've got to desire righteousness, the wholeness, the holiness, the pureness of God. Desire to please the Lord, to do his will in his work. Righteousness permeates every aspect of life as a working fundamental principle. There's a relationship with God, relationship with things, and relationship with other people. And righteousness, as God begins to input and to change and to transform, and his righteousness comes in, not self-righteousness, not our righteousness, which is as filthy rags, but his righteousness opens our eyes and enables us to see our shortcomings and how we can do better, how we need to improve and work on our relationship with God, relationship with the things around us, and relationship with other people. So, do you have a desire to live for God? Do you have a passion to live for God? Do you have a desire to have a pure heart? A person with a burning desire will work and get those priorities in order. They strive not to allow anything to come in between them and God. And sometimes it's a struggle. Raise your hand if you found that to be true. Amen. Amen. There's a couple. All right. Elder Robert C. Cavanaugh. Anybody heard of Brother Robert Cavanaugh? Pastor has. Very good. Very good. He was saved as a 16-year-old man in 1936 in Bloomington, Indiana. He said he worked as a short order cook at a grill, which often required him to work weeknights and to miss church. He would get off work late, rush to catch a city bus, ride across town, and walk into the church just in time for the closing prayer and dismissal. And he would just stand there. He would stand there in his grease-splattered attire. He had missed the preaching. He had missed the singing. He had practically missed the entire service. But he had a burning desire to be there, even if it was just the last 5 minutes, just so he could soak up the remnant, the sweetness of the presence of God. That longing to be in God's presence. That desire to know him more. That's what I want. I want to have that kind of desire. I want to have that kind of longing that anything that I can do to stay in the presence of God, to dwell in his presence, to dwell in the house of the Lord forever and to behold his beauty. Now the world's chaotic. Now we've got wars and rumors of wars. Now we've got the busyness. We've got everything that comes against us. And now it's easy. It's easy for us to lose sight and to lose track. And we get distracted. We stay home if there's 20% chance of rain. Maybe you had a hangnail. And there are legitimate needs, but there's also excuses. And it's very easy in the world that we live in because everything is present. Everything is there. The distractions are there. It's chaotic. Everything's moving fast and quickly. And it's easy for us to get sidetracked. But the dangerous thing about finding just a little excuse, just a little loophole, is if there's any kind of desire to let go and to just coast. If there's any kind of desire to just, I just need to rest. I just need to find maybe a little reason why I don't have to be there tonight. Maybe I can find just a little reason why I can pray tomorrow. Or, you know, do we really have to pray every day? I mean, and these little loopholes are dangerous. You start searching for a loophole, and the enemy will happily supply one. He will gladly give you an excuse. And so we have to guard continually. We have to put up barriers continually and say, no, I desire to be in the presence of God. I whatever it takes, I've got to be there. I've got to seek his face. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, worthless things, and quicken thou me in thy way according to thy word. Psalm 119 and 37. Anybody thankful for the word of God? Anybody thankful for that word that reaches into every situation? It fits not just, it didn't just fit Bible days. It wasn't just a King James era, but it still works today. The word of God is still applicable in 2025. And it's still going to work next year. And it's still going to work in 2035. There's still going to be hope in the word of God. And so as we dig into his word, we need to ask God to help us to get our priorities in order. We need to pray about focus. We need to pray about our aim, our direction in life. The Bible has a promise for those who have a genuine desire and hunger for righteousness. What is the promise? They that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall, everybody say shall be filled. It is going to happen. His word will not return void, but it will accomplish. If you have a hunger and thirst, there's good news. God is in the filling business. You always got a present filling station if you can just desire him. And so, excavation time. What must be dug out before the fourth foundational stone, desire, can be laid? Apathy, indifference, lethargy, complacency, and passiveness. How easy it is for us in the day and age we live to just sit. You know, we get to a place and we just, it's easy. All of us have been there before. And we fight it from day to day. But that's something that we have to resist. Eli got to a place where he just sat. He sat at the entryway. He just watched. He just sat. And by the time it was over, everything was said and done, that was where he lost his life. from a position of sitting to falling on his neck. Too much sitting will kill you. Too much sitting will kill you. Apathy, indifference, lethargy, just letting the world take its course and not pressing, not making things happen, not getting to a place that says, no, you will not, I will not allow it, and you press back. Would the lady that had the issue of blood receive from the Lord had she not pressed? If she had allowed apathy, indifference, lethargy, complacency, passiveness, after those long years of doctors telling her this and putting her through this, and, well, you've got to take this medication and you've got to have this salve, and suffered many things by many physicians. And she could have just been done. She could have just been done. But there was something in her that wanted to press and say, I will not sit. I'm going to get to the master. There is a difference in being interested in something and being committed to it. You might be interested in losing weight. You might be interested in gardening. You might be interested in crafts. You might be interested in a hobby. But unless you're committed to it, then it just becomes a pastime. I would love to learn how to play the guitar. And I have a guitar. It's sitting in my office. And I've picked up the guitar, and I've been interested in playing it. But that's about as far as it got. Because the thing about learning to play is you have to be consistent in the practice. The interest has to turn into a commitment, that which I did not have. Pray for me. Fishermen take time to fish. Hikers take time to hike. Golfers take time to golf. Whatever people are committed to, they will make time to do. Other things are adjusted. Brother Colton, the lake sometimes calls. The call of the wild. Schedules are changed because they have a desire that's driving them. If I can just get that monster on the end of the line. Man, the stories I could tell. The fish fries. And it becomes a commitment. I'm going to make things happen to get to that point. This is the type of desire that we must possess about church and living for God. It can't be an interest. It can't be if it's convenient for me. It can't be, well, I'll fit it into. No, everything else. Everything else has to wait. This is the commitment. Living for God must go beyond the interest level. It must reach the commitment level. Desire must kick in and overrule all other interests. Real desire is revealed by personal priorities. And desire is a vital component to achieving a pure heart. Could you stand with me tonight? Desire is sometimes difficult for us to wrestle and get a hold of and get working. Sometimes desire is it's not as easy as we would like it to be, but it won't stop. It just keeps going. Desire is a It is a determination that I will press. I will seek after. I will bless the Lord at all times. All times even includes the times when you don't feel like it. All times even includes Monday mornings. All times includes when the boss is mad at you and you didn't get that report in. All times is when somebody says something cross back to you. But there has to be something that I might not be in the church house at all times, jumping and shouting, but there's got to be a desire that's blessing the Lord, that's reaching to Him and saying, God, whatever it is that's in me that needs to change, please change me. I desire you. I look for you. I seek your face. I long for you. And there's something about that kind of desire, that kind of decision, that draws the attention of God. Does anybody want the attention of God? The favor of God? The way that God begins to move in and begins to help and begins to strengthen. I like when I get to a place in prayer and I've been so frustrated and I've fought and Pastor, sometimes it's a press to get to that place in prayer. But when the Holy Ghost moves in, woo, when that hunger and that thirst pays off, when God begins to turn and there's a reaching and saying, God, I'm not going to stop. God, I'm going to keep reaching to you. It doesn't matter what I feel like. I love you, and I'm going to keep reaching, and I'm going to keep praying, and I'm going to keep pressing. And God answers, and that righteousness begins to infiltrate all of the stuff. It begins to work down on the inside, and the Holy Ghost begins to work and move. That's what I want in my life. Amen. I wonder if we can lift our hands and just love Him. Oh, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Thank you for your presence. Ooh, thank you, Jesus, for your grace, your mercy. Thank you for the opportunity, God, the privilege to be in your house. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Can we give Him a hand clap of praise tonight? He didn't have to, but He did. He reached to us, and I'm so thankful He did. He didn't have to sacrifice His life, but I'm so glad He did. He had desire for us. He had passion for us. So then we, in turn, respond with desire and passion towards Him. Amen. Amen. I want to work on my desire. How about you? Amen. Anybody want a pure heart? Amen. Pastor, is there anything I'm missing? Let's all go to heaven. How? Together. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.